Global water content patterns in measurements and simulation, manifestation and applications.
My presentation is kind of a continuation of Azim's presentation, and I will be talking about temporal stability of soil water content patterns and measurements and simulations, manifestation and application. And I'm grateful to Rob, Ole and team for invitation and to share some results of our recent research. So I would like to look a little bit back because there is a lot of confusion about time stability in soil water and soil water storage. So I will start from definition and go through detection factors and applications of time stability in soil water content. So Vachaux and Kosser defined in 1985 time stability and time in, as a time in invariant association between spatial location and classical statistical parameters values of soil properties. 3 years later, Kochanowski and De Jong view time stability as temporal persistence of spatial patterns in soil water content. To detect temporal stability, Vachaux and co-authors looked at relative difference in soil water storage different at different measured at different locations at different times. And they assume that temporal stability or time stability means small values of delta, temporal variability in small delta. Another way to estimate time stability in soil water storage is to calculate Spearman correlation coefficient between ranked delta values for different time intervals. So R values close to 1 indicate temporal stability in soil water storage. I took 2 figures from Vachaux publication in 1985 just to demonstrate temporal stability. So in first figure, there's 2 measurements of soil water storage at extremely dry soil and extremely wet soil. In spite of a large variability in soil water storage, we can see that in some locations, soil water storage consistently is smaller than mean value, and in some locations, consistently higher. So in the second plot, there are ranked mean relative differences of soil water storage along with their standard deviations. So small standard deviation indicates the temporal stability or time stability in soil water storage. Kochanowski and De Jong defined a little bit differently temporal stability, detected a little bit different. So they used regression analysis between 2 measurements at different time, and also introduced determination coefficient R, which basically show how much variance in soil water content measured at time 2 can be explained by variance for the same measurements at time 1. High R value indicates temporal stability. So Grant and co-author in 2004 look at parameters A and B to define conditions for time stability in soil water content. So they found, for example, that water content at different times are nearly identical if A equal to 1 and parameter B equal to 0, or nearly uniform changes in soil water patterns occur in the catchment if A equal to 1 and B significantly differ from 1, etc. Grayson and Western show that temporal stability can exist in certain locations and generally but do not exist. Also, they found that temporal stability or time stability of soil water content is can be affected by season. So working with Australian soil, they found that water temporal variability was pretty random for dry period and was higher organization and soil water content was observed during wet periods and associated with soil topography. Finally, Kochanowski and De Jong came up with concept of scale-dependent time stability. So they found that different hydrological processes operate differently at different scale. And they concluded that time stability also should be scale-dependent. So they come up with coherent function, which evaluates how much variation in water content, spatial variation in water content and time 2 can be explained by variation in spatial variation in water content as affected by time scale. not time scale, but scale. So in the research, they found that losses of time stability in seawater content during recharge events, and also during dry periods, temporal stability was independent on the scale. Then Mahanti and Starks in 2001 reviewed factors affecting time stability in seawater content, and they found that soil heterogeneity, topography, vegetation, and climate are key parameters to understanding of time stability in soil water content. And indeed, soil heterogeneity affects soil hydraulic properties, which control soil water transport. Topography controls runoff and water accumulation, which is boundary conditions, surface boundary conditions for water transport. Vegetation controls rainfall redistribution and interception during wet periods and evapotranspiration during dry periods. And a non-uniform distribution in precipitation and evaporation create conditions for temporal variability in soil water content in any period. So time stability would be nothing but a theory hadn't it found applications. So in my presentation, I will be talking about three applications of time stability. The first one, reducing the number of observations needed to characterize behavior of a field soil to upscale soil water content. This is a pretty common application. Second one is evaluating the temporal stability and infiltration losses. And last one, estimating soil water content using Peter-Ransom functions. So experimental part of this research was conducted by Tim Gish and Lynn McKee from Hydrology Remote Sensing Laboratory, USD, IRS, in Beltsville. So they monitored water content in 12 locations of field A and 12 locations of field B using multi-sensory capacitance probes installed in all these locations at different depths. And water content was monitored with 15 minutes time interval. For this particular study, we used data monitored starting from May 2001 through December 2002. So monitoring, water content monitoring revealed high spatial and temporal variability in soil water content measured at 24 locations. In spite of difference, temporal changes in soil water content were pretty similar in all locations. If you look at these curves, water content time series, they just shifted relatively to each other. And this variability was affected, of course, by precipitation and non-uniform precipitation and evaporation. Then we used a Washoe approach to calculate mean relative differences and standard deviation. So we've seen less temporal stability at depths of 10 centimeters compared to other depths. Locations where delta very close to zero were different at different depths, so we weren't able to find a single location which characterized behavior of water across the field. So then we look at method which can help to select location, to characterize the average area average water content. And we found publication by Grayson and Western. So they used three different approaches. For first approach, they suggest to use just minimum delta. In the second approach, they suggested to correct water content for delta and select location with smallest variability in delta. And in third approach, they suggested to use regression approach between average and measured in a particular location, so water content or storage. So we applied all three approaches to our data. And generally, better results in small root mean square error were obtained using regression approach. But in some locations, like BM4, there wasn't much difference between regression and offset correction approach. So we used both of these approaches to find the best locations of water content for water content monitoring, and this location was LA1, and root mean square error wasn't really different for these two approaches. So in many applications, researchers are dealing with infiltration losses rather than with water content. So time stability analysis also can be helpful for this problem. So we used the same data, water quantum monitoring data, to calculate cumulative inflationary losses from depths 0-80 centimeters. And then we calculated daily water contents and field average water, daily infiltration losses and average field average infiltration losses on daily basis. So application of Washoe approach resulted in indefinitely high delta values because in many cases, daily infiltration losses very close to zero. So instead of relative difference in infiltration losses, we used relative difference. So we also calculated median differences and standard deviations. So generally, we haven't seen temporal stability in infiltration losses, but in some locations, standard deviation was pretty small. So when we plotted mainly daily losses against daily losses at location M2, we found good agreement. So this approach can be viable to define location to monitor infiltration losses. So the last application is a multi-modeling of water flow using PEDA transfer functions. So this approach is really useful when water monitoring data are not sufficient for model calibration, so we cannot derive reliable water content parameters for our models. So instead, we can use different PEDA transfer functions to derive parameters using standard data like soil texture, bulk density, and organic matter content. In this particular study, we used 8 PEDA transfer functions. 4 of them estimated parameters of Wang-Yanukhtin relations, and another 4 parameters of Brooks and Corey relationship. So then we used Richard's equation to simulate water flow in soil with parameters derived from soil texture and bulk density. We also used unsaturated hydraulic parameters for this model, for two models, Brooks and Corey model and Wang-Yanukhtin model, and saturated hydraulic conductivity was estimated using publication by Rawls in 1998. So he used a large database to estimate saturated hydraulic conductivity at 3 probability levels and 2 different levels of porosity for all textural classes. So simulation using different PEDA transfer functions didn't do a really good job. We can see a large difference between simulated lines and measured water content dynamics. But what was interesting is that some PEDA transfer functions reasonably well reproduce shape of water content dynamics. So we used again a Washoe approach to calculate mean relative difference between observed and simulated water contents different using different PEDA transfer functions at different depths. So yes, we found that delta deviated from zero considerably, but at the same time, standard deviation in some location was not so big. So then we used offset correction, and we found that root mean square error could be significantly reduced due to correction. So finally, we looked at agreement between simulated and measured data. Still, we didn't have good results at depths of 10, 20, and 30 centimeters. Although results was pretty good below depths of 30 centimeters due to smaller temporal variability in soil water content. So these results indicated that probably different PEDA transfer functions should be used for different depths, or we need to involve more PEDA transfer function to our multi-model simulations. So results of our research can be summarized in 4 conclusions. Time stability viewed as a temporal persistence of spatial patterns in soil water content over 2-year monitoring period was identified using Washoe criteria. Time stability in soil water content was found beneficial for reducing the number of observations needed to characterize behavior of field soil and upscale soil water content. Time stability was observed in water content series simulated for the time site with Richard's equation using different PEDA transfer functions. This opens the opportunity of combining multimodeling with monitoring of the soil water regime as a viable approach of simulating water flow in the weather zone. And the joint exploitation of time stability and measured and simulated time series can improve the selection of pattern transfer functions set to apply multimodeling. Thank you so much.
Any questions? In that field of soil, where you have installed these soil water content probes, mm-hmm. Did you use the manufacturers in calibration? Or?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Actually, we used two calibrations. These sensors were calibrated in the laboratory by Jim Starr and Paltiniano. So we used both of calibration, but we haven't seen big difference between this.
And when you applied the soil hydraulic functions based on various pedotransfer transfer functions, mm-hmm. Did you also use the K-sat value, that matching point for the conductivity function from the pedo transfer approach, or did you have any other reliable information how to match it? So maybe some own?
Well, there is not many pedo transfer functions developed for saturated hydraulic conductivity. So basically what we used water rolls publication, so we try for 25%, 50%, and 75% probability, and it affects a lot the simulation.
Are there any other questions? Well, then let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you.
Do soil water measurements reveal multidimensional flow processes along soil catenae? We will get an answer on this question by Tim Green from Fort Collins.